Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we're going to do a sharing on labeled "We Are a Remnant." And the word "remnant" means to remain.
To what?
To remain. It comes from a remnant. We are born into, quote unquote, you know, all of us, Christianity that was polluted when we received it. You know, and we're going to go through that. And so the point is once we go through this book and we see in this book to see what is true and what we've been taught, whether it's actually true, and discard the lies that we've been taught, which has been representative as true Christianity when it absolutely is not. It was doctrines of demons that's infested into the church. I was just talking to my wife the other day, and it's amazing. I was listening to the end of the gospel, and here is Pilate and Herod said, we find nothing wrong with him. And who wanted to kill the Messiah?
The high priest.
You know, the church, in essence, the church is the one who ended up killing the Messiah. And so we got to remember, our adversary is strong and deceptive, and he's a master of deceit. And many places that he's in the Christian institutions. We were born into a Christian institution that's been polluted. Now there's a purity because it's in this word. I just saw the other day today too that there's a magazine called Christianity Today, and they just hired as an editor a lesbian, which is a sodomite. And that is called Christianity Today. So we just got to realize this is the world we live in. So if you're watching this or listening to it, there's a small group of people and that we want the truth. Regardless, 90% is going to be out there, in which we're going to see in pagan beliefs, pagan teachings. Nothing new. We're going to find out it's nothing new. And here's some of the reason why this happened and what we can do about it. So, we're going to begin with the separation from the world. You know, just that simple. And, Abraham and Sarai were separated from the world. They removed themselves. And then we know with Lot and his wife moved back into the world. Into Sodom and Gomorrah. And we saw what happened, what they were living amongst. So we have to say, well, we're in the church of the Old Testament. We're going to find out, no, there's no difference. It's whether you're going to be part of it. And obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah was like the Garden of Eden. And so where Abraham was, Abraham is obviously not the Garden of Eden, but he chose to remain away from that. And we even saw, just going through the history, Abraham had to save Lot and his family once they were taken over one time. And obviously, Abraham had said, boy, I wouldn't be living in Sodom.
Yeah.
But he remained in Sodom. And the consequences was, what family of his member got burned up? Which ones?
His wife.
His son-in-law's
and his wife.
Yeah, got burned up. And his wife. His wife got consequences. Did they have the pleasures of walled cities? Yeah, did Abraham have that? No, you didn't have walled cities. They were very vulnerable. You got walled cities, you got kings, you have military, you got food, you got everything else, but you had sodomy going around. So just part of your society. So we just won't look at sodomy quite like that. And that's where we get the word sodomy. It's from the word Sodom. Now we're going to go to Exodus 24. And we're just going to see Yahweh gives us a history of mankind. Nothing has changed. We live among the same people who built the calves. They're all religious. So Exodus 24:3. And here's 24:3. So Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of Yahweh and all the regulations, and all the people responded with one voice and said what?
All the words which Yahweh hath spoken, we will do.
Okay, we're in. Let's go down to verse 7. And then took he the book of the covenant and read in the ears of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh has spoken we will do and will hearken. Wow! I mean, bravo!
It's going real good.
Just like today. Things are really going good. A month and a half later is 32. Only a month and a half, 40 days. The same people...
Chapter 10.
You know, let's see, 32:1. And when the people saw, the same people who made the covenant, saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him, up, make for us gods, who shall go before us? For as is Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. Wow, 40 days. And you got to remember, he comes down. He went to the mount, you know, 7 different times. And he comes down, breaks the tablets. They broke the covenant. So these tablets are the covenant. Here's the 10 words, the 10 laws. They broke them. They broke the first, the second one, just like that. In 40 days, a month and a half. And then he goes back up for another 40 days and comes down, and they don't break it this time. But 7,000 people in this church, I'm going to call it a church, were killed by the Levites, if you read the case. Mm-hmm. The purging of the satanic influence in their church. Mm-hmm. Now we go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. This is 40 years later. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years.
Did you say chapter 7?
Yeah, 7, verse 1 through 6. And when Yahweh thy Elohim shall bring thee into the land which thou art going to possess, and shall clear away many nations from before thee. Here's a list of the nations. 7 nations, greater in number and stronger than thou, and Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver them up before thee, and thou shalt smite them. Thou shalt devote them to destruction. Thou shalt not solemnize with them a covenant, neither shalt thou show them favor. There's a separation, a separation, a separation. You cannot co-live with these individuals. Neither shalt thou intermarry with them. Thy daughters shalt thou not give unto their sons, or his daughters shalt thou take for thy son. For he will turn aside thy son from following me, and they will serve other gods. So shalt thou the anger of Yahweh kindle upon you, and he will destroy thee speedily.
Wow.
Real simple. These same dangers are applied to us today. And we're going to say, no, that was the Old Testament. That was the Old Testament. We're going to see that. But the whole point is, remove those people from among you. Remove those people from among you, or you're going to face the consequences, which we're going to see a whole history of this. And we'll go to Joshua 24 now.
I'm sorry.
So Joshua is faithful.
Joshua what?
24, verse 14. So he is winding down. I think they took out 30-some nations. 30 or 31. He did his job. He was faithful. At verse 24, 14. Now therefore revere ye Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Yahweh. There's always polytheism, always other gods present. And we're going to see that in today's church, absolutely. People want gods they can hang on to and see. Verse 19, same chapter, 19 to 24. And it said, Yahushua unto the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for a holy Elohim is he, a jealous El he is. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. When you forsake Yahweh and serve the Elohims of a stranger, then will he turn and inflict on you calamity and consume you after he had dealt well with you. But the people said unto you, Yahushua, nay, but Yahweh will we serve. Okay. Here he goes, lays it out there, and they make the promise. Let's just see how they did. Let's go to, let's see here. Now, Judges 1, Joshua Judges 1:21. They're going in here. And remember, Yahweh tells them, drive out the people. You cannot coexist with these people. You got to drive them out. Let's see here. Yeah, 1:21. But the Jebusites dwelling in Jerusalem, the sons of Benjamin, what? Did not drive out. But the Jebusites have dealt with the sons of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. 27 to 29. It goes all the way through in the book of Joshua. But Manasseh took not possession of Bethshemeh and her towns, nor of Taanach and her towns, nor did he possess the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants. And it goes all the way through here. They did not do what Yahweh told them to do. And that goes all the way, you know, through this chapter. But it's kind of a summation. We'll go to Judges 2:8. So then Yahushua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died being 110 years old. And they buried him within the bounds of his inheritance in Timnath-Eres in the hill country of Ephraim on the north of Mount Gash. All that generation also were gathered of their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who had not known Yahweh, nor even the work which he had wrought for Israel. And the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and served the Baals, and forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and went after other gods from the gods of the people who were round about them. The people who were round about them, because they didn't clean house, bowed themselves down under them and angered Yahweh. Same situation over and over again. 16 to 17. And though Yahweh raised up judges who saved them of the hand of them to plunder them, yet even unto their judges did they not hearken. So we have to understand, what is the history of Yahweh's people?
Rebellion.
Here it is. They just don't hearken. They go right back, the dog going back to their vomit. It's not as bad as the unbelievers, but there's a hybrid faith that they create because they have itching ears. And for they went unchastely astray after other gods, and bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside speedily out of the way wherein their fathers who hearkened unto the commandment of Yahweh walked. They did not so. Now we go to Nehemiah 13. This is after hundreds of years. They were taken captive, you know, so the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes fell 150 years before Judah fell. Then Judah fell, and they're going into captivity for 70 years. And so we're talking about hundreds of years, and now they've come back. Nehemiah. Yahweh has had Cyrus and Cambyses to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple.
Okay. Where's Nehemiah?
Nehemiah before Esther.
491.
Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Just look at this sad, sad state. Nehemiah 23, I mean chapter 13, verse 23 to 27. This is after they, you know, they rebuild the walls, they rebuild the temple. Nehemiah's going back and forth from the Persian Empire, and now he pops back in here, and look what's happened again. Moreover, in those days saw the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, of Ammon, of Moab. Yahweh rejecting women. And their children were one half speaking the language of Ashdod, and understood not how to speak the language of the Jews, but after the tongue of both people. So I contend with them and laid a curse upon them, and I smote from among them certain men and pointed out their hair, and I put them on oath by God. Now this is like, what a pastor, grabbing their hair and yanking their beards and everything else. You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons, nor for yourself. Was it not over these things that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? though among many nations there was no king such as he that was belonging to his Elohim. And so Elohim gave him to be king over all Israel, even him did foreign women cause to sin. Unto you then shall we hearken, we do not this great wickedness to act unfaithfully with our Elohim by marrying foreign women. It's just the same. Now you can say, well, today it's not like that because our churches are beautiful, our cathedrals are beautiful, and people say Christ's name, and actually people actually own a Bible. We have to say, but we're in an unconditional love situation. We love people unconditionally. And that is a doctrine of demons. That's right in our church. I was in a Central Community Church, and right on the wall is God loves you unconditionally. And so what the doctrine has become today,
what people want to hear.
Yeah, here's John 3:16 about how the church is teaching it, what we call the church. For God so unconditionally loved the world that he gave himself, that whosoever believeth in him shall not spend everlasting life in hell, but shall spend everlasting life in heaven. That's, and everybody would say, yeah, that's what, exactly what they teach. Jesus is God. He didn't give his only begotten son. And God loves unconditionally, and there is hell, there is heaven. But John 3:16 does not say that. So a hob the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life age abiding. That's foreign to the church, for us is heaven and hell. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 5:9, which we'll do this more, but it's real simple because we're going to find out pastors are actually define this orders. And so the point would be Yahushua, Jesus, or Paul would not be allowed to teach in today's churches. They would not allow them to teach because they would reprove the pastors and the denominations of what was wrong. They would encourage what was right, but they're going to actually turn the light on this damnable heresies that you're actually teaching, so there's no way they would be allowed in the church. Mm-hmm. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. So he starts saying, well, we can commingle with people because we're in the age of grace, and we love the sinner, hate the sin, and we're going to see. Let me just show you. Here, I'm going to let you hear something. Sodomy's okay. It's a sin. Now watch this. This is Joel Osteen. His church is 45,000 people. Now listen to this interview with CNN.
You about homosexuality, Christianity, homosexuality, and almost every time we have a pastor on, it's a conversation we have. And you are known for these uplifting services, and you talk to a lot of, it's like 45,000 people who attend. And I always wonder, when you say homosexuality is a sin, and there's a bunch of people who clearly are gay, who are in your church, you're calling them sinners. I mean, that...
Well, so again...
It's the opposite of uplifting, I would
think. It does, but one, I don't necessarily focus on that. I'm going to talk about on the interviews. The other thing, too, is it seems like in Christianity sometimes we categorize sin. I mean, pride is a sin. Being critical is a sin. Being negative is a sin. The scripture even says anything that is not of faith is a sin.
We're all sinners. You'd say we're all sinners.
Yeah. And so I think
okay, homosexuality is not so bad, right?
Well, I don't think it's God's best. Neither do I think, you know.
Nobody's God's best,
no,
right?
We're all growing.
I mean, so don't you think, though, that with the country struggling with increasing acceptance of all its citizens, and you're for basic fairness for everybody, that in situations where, like, we're trying to pass these marriage equality bills in certain states now, that you have an important voice to lend to that, especially to kids who are maybe worried about who they are and where they fit in the community?
Well, you know, I think I have an important voice, but I think I've been good. I think part of my, if you want to call it success, is I've stayed in my lane, and my lane is lifting people's spirits, and there are issues that good Bible-believing people see on both sides of the fence.
So you would say to
this is today's church. homosexuals.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, sodomy is a sin, but it's no different than pride, according to Joel Osteen. And sodomites can be part of your church. All right, because I'm not going to address those issues. Now let's look at what Apostle Paul going into his church, and let's read this. 9. I wrote unto you by letter not to be mixing yourself up with fornicators. Not at all mean the fornicators of this world, or the covetous and extortioners or idolaters. Else had you been obligated in that case to go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to be mixing yourself up. If anyone named a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or idolater or reveler or drunkard or extortioner, with such as one as this, not as much as to be eating together. For what have I to do with judging them who are without? Do you not judge them who are within? Whereas them who are without God judges. Remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. It's real simple. We would love to have homosexuals or sodomites who gave up sodomy and turned to Christ. But you cannot be a sodomite and be going to church. You know, you can be a past sodomite and you got redeemed, but you've got to leave.
You can go to church.
You can't go to church either.
They let you in.
No, but they're going to let that in because that's exactly the poison that you're allowing in, and why Yahweh is what we're saying. What you're allowing is those individuals into your church, or whether it's alcoholic or, you know, a fornicator, all these things. You know, so it's that simple. Now we know this is nothing new. That would not be taught in Joel Osteen's church. All right, it's not going to be taught in the majority of all churches today, Catholics included. I mean, obviously included. When you go to Galatians 3:1, here's the Apostle Paul. O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose very eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth as a crucified one? Paul is dealing with this in his own lifetime while he's alive. He taught the Galatians, and now they're going back to what they want, and that is not Christianity, but it is a hybrid conjunction that they made, which is circumcision and everything else that they've done. And we know in 2 Timothy 1:15, we don't have to go there, but at the end of Paul's ministry, it is, all of Asia has turned from me. Now, if he was Joel Osteen, you're not going to address these issues, because all Asia will be with me then. I'm just going to not address these issues. I'm not going to say you can't do this, you can't. I'm just not going to say anything about this. I'm not going to talk about abortion. I'm not going to talk about sodomy. I'm not going to talk about the Democrat Party. I'm just not going to bring that up, because we just all want to get along together. And that's exactly Satan's modus MRI.
M.O.
M.O. Modus operandi. Yeah, modus operandi. So the paganism in the church today, the church fathers were all polytheists. They were Greeks. So what they call a church father, the church fathers were the 12 apostles. They were all Hebrews. All right. There's no polytheists with them. Mm-hmm. But you can see that in there. So now what we have today is what we call the church fathers, and they are all polytheists, Greeks, didn't know Hebrew. And here's just one. This is Tertullian, all right? And his book, what he wrote, Tertullian Against Phlaxis, Paraxis. And this was done about 200 A.D.
Constantinople Creed.
Constantinople
Creed.
The official deal of the
Nicene?
The Nicene Creed. Yeah, the Nicene Creed is 325. And you had two gods. You had Yahweh, and then you had Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit. And then in 350, you have three gods. So this was 200 AD, and he's the one that first came up with the word Trinity. And so you can get this book, but let's just listen to this what he's talking to this guy about and what this book actually says. Therefore, after a time, the father that was born and the father that suffered, God himself, the all-powerful Lord, is preached as Jesus Christ. Now think about that. Therefore, after a time, the father that was born and the father that suffered, God himself, the all-powerful Lord, is preached as Jesus Christ. But we both, always and now more than before, has been better instructed by the Paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, as the word we're going to do, who, of course, leads us into all truth, believe indeed in one God, but subject to this arrangement, which we call economy, that is, the one God who should also belong, a Son, his own Word, who has come forth from him, through whom all things are made, and without whom nothing was made, that it was he who was put by the Father into the Virgin, and born from her, both man and God, Son of man, Son of God, and surnamed Jesus Christ. That it was he who suffered, died, and buried according to Scriptures, and was raised again by the Father, and be taken into heaven, and sit at the right hand of the Father, will come to judge quick and the dead. And then the first use of the word Trinity comes down to all simple people, not to say the unwise and unprofessional, since even the rule of faith itself removes them from the plurality of the gods of this world to the one true God, become greatly terrified through their failure to understand that while he must be believed to be one, it is along with his economy, because they judge that economy, implying a number and arrangement of Trinity, is really a division of unity, whereas unity means one. Mm-hmm. Whereas unity derived Trinity from itself. Mm-hmm. So you have one, and three comes from one. Of unity, whereas unity deriving Trinity of itself is not destroyed by it, but made serviceable. Therefore, they now circulate a statement that two and three are preached by us, while they judge that they are worshippers of one God, just as if the irrational contradiction. And so you go on this. And, you know, this is a doctrine of Satan, and I'm going to say 90% of the church, or if not more, it's all part of it. Because if you don't, you're going to be discarded. No different than the prophet Samuel was. No different than the prophets, the judges that were sent to Israel, and they didn't listen to the judges and discarded them.
Killed them, usually.
Yeah, and so it's the same today. There is no difference. So, the paganism in the church, the Trinity, the immortality of the soul, praying to Mary, and Jesus is the Creator, which is all right here. Heaven and hell. Don't speak in tongues or prophesy. No Yahweh in their Bible. I mean, all this stuff. Church is accepting sodomy, as you can see right here. And we have people that we know who are in government who are Christians, and a person who was elected in our city council is supposedly a Christian who is a sodomite. He says he's a homosexual, so instead of calling him homosexual, let's just say it's sodomy. That's what homosexuality is, sodomy. And so these other Christians will say, well, they love the sinner, hate the sin, and actually instead of rejecting him, they just act like it's not a big deal. So now sodomy is part of the Christian church. And we saw that
and
in our
people
Methodist.
Who don't accept it are the bad guys.
Yeah, and so we can see that's, you know, the United Methodist Church split on that. They've got homosexuals as pastors as part of it. Our pastors are just not going to say anything about it. And like a Joel Olstein says, well, I'm just not going to, I want to lift people up. I'm not going to teach the truth. All right? I'm just going to stay in my area and where people come and they feel good about themselves. And so I'm really more of a psychologist that makes people feel better about themselves. We are a remnant. A small group of individuals has always been that way. And like I said, 90% of Christians are polytheists. Probably 50% pray to the dead. You know, they're praying to Mary. And most Christianity believe that nobody's dead anyway. Everybody's alive in heaven. 50% vote for sodomy and abortion, stealing from the rich. That's called the Democrat Party of the United States. But we know the truth is this word, there's one God, his name is Yahweh, and one Lord, his name is Yahushua. That's 1 Timothy 2:5, 1 Corinthians 8:6, you know, all the way, you know, Exodus 21, Deuteronomy 6:4-9. There is death, and we sleep in Sheol, waiting for the resurrection. When people die, they don't go someplace else. We believe in the new earth. The word teaches the new earth. Christ is going to be ruling the earth. We're not going to be living in heaven. That's not our home. We're going to speak in tongues and prophesy. And we're going to tell people, you cannot, you know, if you're an adulterer in our church and you're a Christian and you're committing adultery, you cannot come to this church.
You gotta leave.
So we're going to tell people, if you're a homosexual, an unrepentant homosexual, and I just want to say, if you're a homosexual, you are not allowed in this church. You know, if you're a drunkard, you're not allowed in this church. And if he wants to help you, and why would you have that contamination? Think of that. Because that same person in that church is going to marry somebody else in that church. Well, we go to the same church.
Yeah.
You know? And it's acceptable. And so that's... We are a remnant. Keep doing the word. Realize the masses are always going to be against us, just as they were with Christ.
It's a war.
Yeah, it's a war, and Satan is alive and well in the church. They do good stuff, better than the Islam, by all means. They will be judged according to their works and judged according to what they do with the scriptures and what they don't do with the scriptures, just like all of us will be rewarded. So we want to be on the right track and keep speaking the truth in love, but she put sunglasses on the truth. We let the light shine, and if you don't like it, talk to the author. It's not us. And if you love your family, you're going to obey it. If you don't love your family, you're going to let them marry. We had a daughter who was marrying an unbeliever. Guess what? We're not going to the wedding. You know? Because Yahweh said don't do that, doesn't he? 1 Corinthians 7 says, you marry only in the Lord. And somebody's trying to marry out of the Lord? Nope. You know, that's it. So we have to make those same stand. That's what the word says when it comes to pleasing my family members or Yahweh. No question. You know, who are my brothers and sisters? Those who hear the word of Yahweh and do it. Christ said that too. It's not that you hear it. It's that he actually do it. So let's hear from our Heavenly Father in prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Father, thank you for giving us Ruach HaKodesh. Thank you, Christ, for paying the price that you made us holy or separate from the world, that we could end up receiving Ruach HaKodesh. And so through you we come to our Father. Amen. Be at peace and know that I abide in peace. I abide in love. I abide in joy. You are my sons and daughters whom I've endowed with great spiritual ability. Realize that. Act upon that and activate it. You must activate it like a coal. You must blow on the ember in order to reignite it many times. But if you stay dormant, it will actually be dormant also. Amen.